Today on this program, a transatlantic story of love, music, and politics.
The state wants to decide for us who we should love and who not. It's like Big Brother.
It's as if we become something dangerous.
The voices of Leon Perlet and Miletus Sosa. He's in Amsterdam, she's in the city of Holguín, Cuba. Two ordinary people leading relatively uncomplicated lives. But they both had a connection to a very out-of-the-ordinary musical instrument. And that's where the complications began. The instrument is an organ. Don't think of a delicate Sunday morning church kind of organ that you play with a keyboard. Think of a big, loud wooden instrument on wheels that plays outdoors on the street and works like a player piano, blowing air through holes in a cardboard music score. You play it by cranking a handle. And in his small workshop in Amsterdam, Leon Perlet painstakingly restores these antique street organs. To begin with, he has to punch the music into long cardboard sheets.
An organ book is made of zigzag folded cardboard. It has to be punched with holes in a certain pattern. And this pattern is the music which the organ will play. When a hole in the book passes over one of the key will jump up in the hole, and the note in the organ, which is connected with this particular key, will start to sound, and then the pipes will start to speak. So now I first have to start the organ, and then I can put in the music book. That's the melody from the film, True Love. I think it was with Dean Martin. Okay, let's start the organ.
The thing is, in Europe today, these instruments are relics of a bygone era, and it's hard to make ends meet running a street organ restoration business in 1998. But for Leon Perlet, this is a labor of love. That's how come he found out that a century ago, these European organs traveled across the Atlantic, and it led him to the only street organ factory in the Americas. It still exists today, in Holguín, Cuba. So, of course, 3 years ago, Leon had to go and find it.
So I was standing at Cuernavaca Beach, white sands, blue sea, blue sky, people in swimming suits, bikinis, it's very nice. And there's a big open air tent, and there was an organ with a battery of percussions next to it. Five people playing conga, bongo, timbales. I was so impressed by it because it was just like a real orchestra which was playing.
That was marvelous.
Well, my uncle, the one who works in the organ factory, told me that there was a crew from Holland who was going to be at the factory. They were interested in organs and they were going to have a party for those persons. He invited me to go there, but I was a little afraid. I didn't dare to talk to any foreigner. And then I think he said I could help translating. He insisted, and I didn't want to be unpolite. And I went with him to the factory. I am sitting on a table with my uncle, having fun, drinking. And then all of a sudden I see that big man, white skin, that look in his face, like a child. I thought my heart starts to beat faster.
There came a man towards me. He tried to start a conversation, but he found out that my Spanish was just as good as his English. He asked me to wait, and he came back with a young lady with sunglasses on, and it came out that she was his niece.
I took my glasses up. I'm looking into his eyes. Something was happening in him. It's the same that's happening inside me. I could see it in his eyes.
From the first moment she took off her glasses, I felt like coming home. Everything fell in its place. My soul was complete.
It was just love at first sight.
I just knew I was in love.
We were talking, it was so nice talking, it was like if I had known him my whole life. Yeah, it was great.
I was forced to leave there because we had to be on time at the airport. So I tried to extend the time of leaving as long as possible, but they were calling me and saying, come on, Polly, we have to go, the airplane is waiting. And yeah, it's okay, I'm coming. 5 minutes later, Polly, come on now, we have to go.
I saw the car leaving and he was looking back and saying, goodbye.
I hoped she would write me, but it was still unexpected, and I was happy about it, because I hoped it was not just something which lasted one day, at least not for my feelings. I was sure about my case, but of course you never can look into the soul of another person. Cuba, August 31st, 1995. Dear Perle, first of all, my most sincere greetings for you and my wishes of prosperity. For beginning this letter, I will tell you that I have missed you as if I would have met you since my childhood. Referring to me, I'm 21 years old. I study at the Training Teachers College, so I will be a teacher soon. I enjoy dancing, reading, having new friends, traveling here in Cuba. It will be very nice to hear about you and your country. I know that in spite of being a small country, it's nice. Besides that, there is produced a delicious butter. My friend, you are not going to believe that I keep the postcard you gave me in a place where I can take a glance at it every time. It really brings good memories. Take care of yourself and write soon. Kisses sincerely, miladies. So, I hope for it and well. It's something which you can touch, you can read it again, and that was one of the best moments in my life.
Dear Miladis, thanks for the nice letter. I received your letter the 10th of October. There is something on its way for you. Hope you like it. Love and kisses, Leah. And when he said there is something on its way for you, he meant mucho corazón. This is a music book he arranged with love for me. And the first page, you can see how he dedicated, wrote for Miladis from León with love. It was in September 95 in Amsterdam. The rest is just a piece of cardboard full of holes. He can read it, I can't. And I didn't know what to do with it. But I don't have an organ. I have to go to the factory. This is the tune. Uh-huh.
arranged it especially for miladies, just out of love, and I liked the music. I didn't understand the words exactly, because at that time my Spanish was just as good as my Chinese, so you can imagine. But only the title of the piece was enough for me, Mucho Corazón, and that's what I just felt. Mucho Corazón, with a lot of heart.
These are the words to Mucho Corazón. Yo, para querer, no necesito una razón. Me sobra mucho, pero mucho corazón. I don't need a reason to love you, because my heart is so big.
Onkin, September 23rd, 1995. Dear Leon, it was so nice to learn that you have not forgotten me. In fact, I was afraid about it.
Amsterdam, 22 September 1995. Dear Miladis, before opening your letter, I had to calm down myself because my heart was beating like crazy. And as I read it, it gave me a very warm and good feeling inside.
To be sincere, I have read it more than 6 times today. And now I decided to write back to you. Believing that you think of me too was one of the best things that could have happened to me.
Dear Miladis, would you believe me as I told you that every night before I go to sleep and in the mornings when I uprise, I kiss your name on the letter? So, you have to write back very soon because it's wearing out very rapidly.
Can you imagine how I would feel if you came here again? Please, if possible, do it as soon as you can. It'll be great. Kisses, Miladis.
1,000 kisses.
The second time I went to Holguín was December 1995.
I was scared because I didn't know what to expect from a man who lives in a developed country. I didn't know what he could expect from a girl from a small city in a poor country.
I was really nervous.
We didn't know anything about each other. It was just some letters and...
Sounds stupid, perhaps, but I was really nervous to meet her again.
I went to the airport. I saw him.
I walked towards them. And Miladis, she laid her hand on the window. And I put my hand also against the window, and they were laughing because I have quite big hands, and her hands are rather small. It looked like as if there was a baby hand laying in my hand.
He was shaking. Oh, his body was shaking. I could feel it when he took me in his arms.
Well, I tried to give her a kiss in the taxi, but even that didn't work. She was just like a shy bird.
I was voiceless. Huh? I couldn't say a word. He tried, but he was also nervous. They took me to my house, and I told my mother, "Oh, Mama, I'm dying. I don't know what's happening." It was something completely new, what I was feeling since I met him. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't sleep that night. And I was afraid also because many girls were going out with foreigners for money. That was not my case. But I was afraid he and the rest of the people could think that.
At one particular night, we went out together, having some drinks at some bars.
We were going hand by hand, talking. We had had a nice night. There was a couple behind us. There was a young man with girl. He said, tú foque foque conmigo y yo compro. If you have sex with him, he will buy.
I got quite angry about it and I wanted to go after them. But Miletus was keeping me from doing that. She felt proud that I wanted to defend her. But
it's a problem of policy, eh? Country. Every person thinks when they see a girl with a foreigner, she's a prostitute. It's because many persons have lost their values, many Cubans, and they go after foreigners asking for money. I understand why they do it. People get desperate.
The effect of the United States, the embargo in Cuba on people's daily life, it's hard at the moment. It's very hard. Of course, income is very low. And sometimes people don't have to eat for one or more days.
Girls, young girls, there are many who already have kids and they don't have anything to give them for dinner. They use their body to earn money.
I don't know about this embargo, because I can't imagine what kind of danger Cuba could be to the world. It's just a small country and I don't think they are out to conquer the world.
At the university, when I started my relation with Leon, everybody knew about it. My classmates were saying that I shouldn't keep that relation because people were saying that I was a prostitute, just because I had a relation with a foreigner. And then they changed towards me. It was like if I became someone else. It was like if I was betraying my country.
I stayed there till the 29th of December. I was there 2 weeks. I still have the flight ticket. And as the plane left, I had problems to keep my eyes dry, so...
These are the words to the sun, don't leave me alone again. If you knew how I suffer when you go away from me, if you knew how I only live thinking of you, you'd come back to me, my dear love. Mi amor querido.
At that time there was no light. It was very... It was a very dark period of my life and I couldn't stand to my promises that I would be there in February. Then I extended the promise till I think May. And every time, yeah, I will be there, but every time I had the excuse again because income was not that way that I could live just like that. Most tourists who go to Cuba are quite well to do or have steady jobs with a steady income. And it's hard to explain that you can have many troubles. You have to take care about your company to save it from going under. Incomes were quite low, but I didn't know how to explain that to her and I felt actually ashamed about it.
I thought many things. I thought maybe he was just a tourist who came here to have fun. I regret what I thought, but I thought that I didn't have any idea about his life or anything. What I had in mind was an European saying that he couldn't come for me. They didn't have that kind of problems. For me, it was another world. And I thought perhaps I'm not what he needs.
But at a certain moment, I felt so miserable and I didn't know what to find, what to write down anymore in my letters, excusing myself about not being able to come over to Cuba and to be with her. I was so depressed and so... Yeah. I don't know if it's self-pitying or whatever, but I wasn't able to cope completely with the situation and I didn't want to tell her about that because I didn't want to make a bad impression. And I felt so miserable that, stupidly enough, I didn't write her for about 3 months.
I said in my house, I don't want to listen to his name again. I don't want anything that has to do with him. I'm too young to suffer this way. I want to forget him.
December 19th, 1996. Dear Leon, hearing from you was a big surprise for me. To tell you the truth, I thought you'd never write again. Indeed, there have been no change in my feelings, although I had decided not to write to you again and to forget about our relation because I have already cried too much because you do not write.
I too have tried not to think too much of you. But I failed because my heart was stronger and words right over my soul.
Do you think you are the only one who have problems? I have people saying whatever they want about me. I have even to stand them saying that I'm a stupid bitch because I still think of you.
I have not been able to sleep yet because of a painful, guilty conscience over a terrible time you have had because of me.
Remember that love is like a plant that needs to be watered every day. Lots of luck and happiness, and I suggest you to cheer up. This is not the end of life. Miladis. If you think of coming before April, let me know it beforehand.
This is my dearest piece of gold. It's so sweet.
I miss so much your mouth, your words, your kisses, your big hands, and in fact, I miss you all.
It's crazy. He even wrote from the plane.
Honey, you can tell to your mother that I'm loving you more than before.
I'll kiss you in exactly 3 hours. I love you forever.
I already decided to ask Miladis to become my wife the first time I saw her, but I didn't do so until I thought time was right for it.
We were walking around the city. It was afternoon. We decided to sit down in Parque San Jose. We were drinking Bavaria, a Dutch beer.
And we were just talking. At a certain moment I said to her, what would you think about the idea to be my wife? And she said,
of course, I want to marry you. And I asked him, can you say it again? Can you ask again?
And so I repeated my question. I said, do you want to become my wife and live with me? After she got back her breath, she said yes and started crying. So I had to wait again for the rest of the answer, but I can tell that it was very encouraging what happened.
We kissed. I was living in a cloud. We were both together living in a cloud.
That is impossible, because our country is rather full.
I invited her to come here in March last year.
That is impossible.
70%. If they don't have enough income.
The request was denied by the authorities. With the Cuban government, it's no problem. she has the permissions which she needs to leave the country. But here in Holland, in fact in Europe, it's getting harder and harder every day to have permits for strangers who want to come in to the fortress of Europe.
My name is Joke Zuidweek. I am second secretary in the Netherlands Embassy here in Havana, Cuba.
I'm Nalle Haspels, and I'm working at the Dutch Immigration Board. Yeah, well, in the Netherlands we have a restrictive admittance policy because we are just a small country and we don't have a lot of space and not enough jobs. And that's why we are carrying out a restrictive policy. So we just look at the rules, and whether they are in love is not really a criterion.
Anyway, you can invite a Cuban person to the Netherlands if you comply with the requirements of the Dutch authorities. It only costs you a lot of money.
Governments can interfere in family life if they don't have enough income, and the rule of income is a very strong rule.
The problem which I have towards the authorities is that I can't show them on paper that I have a basic income. When you are in love, you don't think about politics. You think just like humans, without any borders, without authorities, because actually every political system means a prison for people. And for Miladis, in Cuba, she had a lot of problems because she couldn't get any job. And, well, she has been feeling quite miserable.
Here there are rules to work in certain places. You cannot have any kind of relation with foreigners. I would like to work at the airport, for example, guiding foreigners. That's something I would like to do, and I could do it. I have many classmates who have gone to the airport to work, and they are there, but if they find out I am with a foreigner, I cannot be there. It's as if we become something dangerous.
The state wants to decide for us who we should love and who not. It's like super control, big brother. I decide with who you will live, and you have no voice in it. This is the nightmare script from George Orwell, from 1984.
This was a present from him. He brought it in December when he came. It's a music box with the shape of an organ. It's a nice present. I give it with love. And the tune, it's a Tulips from Amsterdam. I love him. He's everything to me. And I know he loves me. I miss him a lot. Every day, every minute, every second. I'm sorry. And I will be patient now. We will wait. And we will be together. I hope it's soon.